Welcome to The Legal Hour with Mike Chastain, a weekly show dedicated to exploring current legal issues and hot topics, giving you something interesting to talk about around the water cooler. Now, here's your host attorney, Mike Chastain.
Well, welcome, everybody. A happy Friday, and welcome to The Legal Hour with Mike Chastain. And as you can guess, I'm not Mike, but this is E, and I'm substituting in for Mike today because that little lucky dog, he is out skiing in Colorado with the buddies. So anyway, so today you can imagine the topic is not going to be legal because that's not my area of expertise. But instead, I've chosen a special guest today to talk about a topic that I think is really interesting. And it's about a new and kind of upcoming sport in this country that's gaining a lot of popularity. Now, I've done this before with Mike, but I am committed this year to strike out on my own and actually try some events myself. And this sport is called orienteering. And my guest today is Mats Jansen. Hi, Mats. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for bringing me on.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited. And Mats has quite the background in orienteering. He's going to share with us this hour really his background with it, what the sport is all about. He's also the president of Gold Country Orienteers. Kind of like a mouthful saying that.
It's a mouthful.
And also NAVX. And these are local opportunities you have if you get inspired, which I hope happens. You get inspired to go out there and try some orienteering events yourself. So anyways, Matt, let's kind of get started. And can you give us just like a general layout of what orienteering is? And we'll go in the next section, we'll go in a lot more depth with it, just so people know what the heck we're going to talk about.
Sure, absolutely. So orienteering is basically a sport, and it's done outside, usually in a park or a forest or a wooded area. Can be done in kind of a mixed urban area too, but the whole point of it is to find checkpoints on a map. You know, kids get it instantly. They're like, okay, this is a treasure hunt.
It's a treasure hunt.
It's a treasure
hunt. How exciting.
Yeah, and so there's little flags out there, and then typically there's a little electronic chip that you have on your finger, and you, when you get to it, when you navigate this course, you basically check in with this chip, and it records, you know, the time that you got there and everything. And when you get back to the finish, then you basically download the data from your chip, and then you can see how you stack out up to everybody else. So it's basically a run, but with a twist.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So this is done, like as you said, it's done with a map, correct? And you also, then how do you get to find your way around with the map? Just dead reckoning or?
So it kind of depends. We have courses all the way from beginner all the way up to advanced. The beginner courses, you don't really need any more tools than the map and just your normal, the way you would navigate with a car and the map, old school, you know, without the GPS before.
Old GPS. School, yeah.
Yeah. So you know, you're on a trail. You come to a trail junction. You're going to turn left or right, you know, etc. As you move up the scale to more advanced, then you might start using something called compass. And so a compass is something that allows you to shoot a bearing. We call it a shoot a bearing, where you can go from A to B on the map, and the thing will actually point you in the direction that you want to run or walk.
That I want to do a little visualization in our next section where we can kind of, you can kind of walk us through and how it lays out on the map, because the maps are really, it's really cool.
They're works of art.
They really are. They're just beautiful. And actually cartology, isn't that, cartology is a study of maps?
Sure.
And all the old maps, oh my God, they were some really, I mean, maps are a beautiful thing. So this is like really exciting. So it's kind of like, it's very old school kind of sport. I mean, now we have GPS. People tend to go out in parks, they go for a walk, they stay on trails. I mean, this is just really going out there in the wilderness or semi-wilderness area and learning how to use a map and compass.
That's right. And in many ways, it's kind of like, you know, finding your true sort of tribal self because, I mean, it's something that we all had at one point in time. We all had to navigate to get food, to get shelter, and all those things. And we kind of lost it along the way. So this sport sort of brings us back to, you know, who we really are at the core.
I like that. It's like that kind of primal feeling with it.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you, how did you get involved with this?
Well, I didn't have much of a choice.
Uh-oh, it sounds like a childhood tragedy or childhood pressure.
yeah, for sure. My dad was heavily into it, and I grew up in Sweden, and the sport actually had its birthplace in Sweden. I'm not exactly sure why, but it started out as a military training exercise in Scandinavia, and it very quickly kind of shifted away from being governed by the military to more of a civilian, just sport like soccer or hockey or anything over there. And it just took off. I mean, they estimate now in Europe alone 1 million competitive orienteers that go out, you know, every other weekend and compete. It's amazing.
That really is incredible. And in this country, though, I mean, I was introduced to it through Mike. I'd never heard of it before. But I think, are you finding with your events that there's more and more people, it's more interest is gaining with it? Or are we a little kind of behind the curve?
Well, it's been slow going. There's a couple of things, The land use, the public land has very strict rules in California, and so we really try to work very closely with the organizations that cover that. One organization I want to kind of put in a little plug for, they do a fantastic job in the region, Sacramento Valley Conservancy. They have an area now that's just opened up in the last few years that's wonderful. If you guys get a chance, go out and see it. And we have a new map in that area. It's called Deer Creek Hills. It's just north of Rancho Murrieta. Wonderful place, wonderful people.
Is it mostly like some of the issues then going out in the wilderness in this area is the protection of endangered species, you know, wildlife, plants, and just kind of protecting the environment?
I think there's a history of really looking at people in these places staying on trails. And our sport invariably gets you off trail. And so that's just really, it's really about education, because once there's been study after study done in Europe and there's really no negative impact on the environment of people going off trail, and the any sort of grass that gets trampled, it recovers very,
very quickly.
We think
deer and wildlife tramples the grass.
Exactly.
And we're not talking about a group that's going to go out and start throwing wrappers and trash around. That's not the headset or the mindset of somebody interested in orienteering. It's more of a communing with nature.
Exactly.
And respect for nature.
So we find it's really getting better and getting, and having a long-term relationship with these is fantastic. But I never answered your question.
I know. I'm sorry. I got derailed there. Your dad. What happened there?
Yeah. So he obviously got me out when I was 7, 8 years old. And so, you know, it was from the first thaw in the spring till the first snow in the fall, it was orienteering every other weekend, I would say. And, you know, the events there are huge. I mean, they're just these massive gatherings of 2,000, 2,500 people, and everybody does it, like the kids, all the way up to grandma and grandpa. It's really a big party.
Oh, that sounds like cool. So it wasn't really traumatizing then. Not so much. Except I guess for kids, you know, that you may have been wanting to sit in front of TV or do something else.
You know.
Yeah. That's so cool. And your dad, his beginning, was he in military? Is that how he, or is it just because it was it's so popular that?
Yeah, no, by that time, it was already kind of a sport in its own right by that time. So no, he didn't come into it from the military.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. We're getting ready to take a break here in just a few minutes. And my guest here today is Mats Jansson, and he is talking about orienteering. Mats is the president of Gold Country Orienteers and NAVX. And when we come back from the break, he's going to talk in more detail about what the sport, what it looks like to come up to one of these meets. So anyways, we'll check back with you in just a few minutes here.
A couple of drinks after work, think you're doing okay, get in the car and boom, you see the flashing lights and your heart stops. Hi, I'm Mike Chastain of the Chastain Law Office, and I literally wrote the book, How to Survive a DUI Arrest, What You Need to Know. When you're pulled over for a DUI, how you act matters. Be polite, stay calm, and follow directions. It may mean the difference between going home or going to jail. My book provides critical information you need to protect your livelihood, your driving privileges, and your reputation. To get a free copy, go to www.yoursacduiattorney.com. If you've been arrested, call me for a free consultation right now. That's www.yoursacduiattorney.com. Bottom line, if you've been drinking, call for a ride. If you didn't and got caught, call me. I'm Mike Chastain, and my team fights for good people.
Hey, Siri, I'm being accused of a crime. Just a minor one, so no big deal, right? I can handle it myself. I'm not guilty, so what can go wrong? Attorneys only help once I get to court. Plus, the judge is going to think I did it because I have an attorney. Thank goodness for the Internet. I'm sure to find all my answers.
Hold on a minute. While your Siri app might be helpful with a lot of things, I don't recommend it for legal advice. You might find an answer, but it might not be the right one. With any criminal case, having the right answers can keep you out of jail. Hi, I'm Mike Chastain, and I have been practicing criminal defense for over 30 years. I wrote a special report called The 10 Myths About Criminal Cases, designed to help people like you find the right answers. To start with, no case is minor. And no, you should not handle it on your own. And trust me, the judge will appreciate you having a lawyer. Visit us today at radio.chastainlaw.net for your free copy of the special report. I'm Mike Chastain, and I'm here to help you get the right answers.
Now, back to the Legal Hour on Money 105.5 with your host, Mike Chastain.
Welcome back to the Legal Hour and happy Friday to everybody. This is E sitting in for Mike while he is out in Colorado skiing it up with the guys, and I'm sure they're just putting each other through the paces. And I'm joined here today with Mats Jansen, and we are talking about orienteering. And I picked Mats to be my guest today because I am, like, totally fascinated with this sport, and I'm committed this year to actually go out and do it by myself. I typically have gone to some with Mike, who is really kind of an old pro at this. And so I end up always just kind of tagging and running along, trying to keep up behind him. As he's like, oh, go here, here, turn the compass here and do this and that. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, wait a minute, can you slow down?
Maybe we'll put a beacon on you.
Yeah, but a little, yeah, exactly. We need something like that. So I am going to, this year I'm committed to just go and do it by myself and, you know, figure this out. So what I thought we could do here, you know, Mats was just kind of explaining that he had grown up in Sweden and his father, and how it's like a huge sport over there, and that thousands of people would show up for these orienteering meets. I mean, this is just so cool. We don't have that turnout in this country, but hopefully we can help build up a, you know, a stronger and bigger following in this area. But anyway, so I'd like to talk now a little bit, Mats. Just kind of, could you like lay out like what? Let's talk like what an event looks like, and then we'll go into actually what the map looks like. But let's say if I show up, which I'm going to be here soon, all by myself, mm-hmm. and you know I'm very nervous about this. So tell me a little
You're
bit like
alone.
What happens.
You're not alone. There's a big fear among people about getting lost.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll just put that right out there. I mean that it's the first thing you hear when somebody new is kind of coming into it, and. And it's great to see them come back after their first time doing it on their own, and they're going, oh, my God, what was I afraid of?
Yeah.
Because, really, I mean, there's a whole really support structure around it. And we have a safety protocol. There's always a safety protocol where, you know, you can just head east, essentially, to the next paved road, head back to the event centers, things, simple things like that.
Right. So these aren't – your events in this area are not in, like, these big, vast wildernesses where you're going to get lost. They're in contained parks or spaces
right.
where, you know,
yeah,
you, there's some really known things like roads or a river or some things that you – you know, anybody
oh, yeah.
can figure that out.
Yeah, and I would say the majority of the events are like that. They're in urban parks. They're in sometimes on college campuses. You can have a lot of fun with because there, you know, there's so many little nooks and crannies
oh, yeah.
and fences and stairs and so forth. So yeah, it's definitely not all total wilderness.
Okay, so let's walk everybody through this. So when you show up to an event. And you advertise these, and we'll you'll talk a little bit more about how we can find out information on where these events are going to be taking place. So let's say I show up, all right, and then you tell me what the setup is, and you know I think you do this in different levels. Isn't there different levels of difficulty? And you can kind of walk
sure,
me through this.
Sure. So let's say you've never been to one, and you decide, you know, I'm just going to go check it out. The first thing is you'll be there's information there about the different courses. So we always have, at our events here at Gold Country Orienteers, we have 5 courses, but other clubs may have a little more, you know, granularity in it. But essentially, there's a beginner, beginning intermediate, an intermediate, and then there's different advanced courses that are longer or shorter, but they're basically the same difficulty. So they have colors associated with them. So a white course, for example, is the beginner course. Yellow would be the beginning intermediate, orange the intermediate, and then other colors for the advanced. So if you haven't done it before, then we always recommend to go out on white. If you're really adventurous and want to spend, you know, as much time as possible out of the course, then, you know, maybe you can go
upgrade
for yellow.
Upgrade yourself a little bit.
Yeah. So but that's a white course is going to be just about all of it is going to be on trail.
Okay, so this is we're talking about on trail because you have on the map, you have these things. You call them checkpoints, don't you, in orienteering? I know the adventure racing are called checkpoints. What do you call them?
Well, because the sport originated in Sweden, some of the words are kind of weird to us here in the States. But the checkpoints are actually called controls.
Controls, okay.
And it happens to be a Swedish translation of, that kind of just ends up being control. But yeah, that's what they're called. But they're essentially checkpoints on a point-to-point course from a start to a finish.
And these are, describe to people what this looks like. So when you try to spot it on a course, you know.
Yeah, so you know, once you start, and this is a little different than a normal trail running race where you have a shotgun start. There's a staggered start here, and the reason is you don't want people to just follow each other.
Yeah.
So we have 2-minute increments, and we let people kind of meter people out on the course over the course of maybe 2 or 3 hours. So, which is also nice because let's say you have your kids have a soccer game in the morning. Well, maybe you can come around noon, and still do a course. So it's great for that purpose too. Back to what you'll experience. You get out on the course. Now you have a map in your hand, and the map has a triangle for the start, a double circle for the finish, and and then lines that go from checkpoint to checkpoint. And so you know obviously where the triangle is. That's where you're standing right now. And then you see number one. That's your first checkpoint. And now you got to kind of figure out how to get there. And typically, like I said, on the white course, there's going to be a trail that's going to lead to the first checkpoint. And then there might be some challenges thrown in where, you know, you come to a trail junction, and now you have to figure out, do I go left or right?
So you have to you'll have to know with your compass what direction you're pointing in, what, you know, so where you are. You have to keep
exactly
oriented to where you are on the map.
Exactly. And that's... Yeah. Orienting a map is kind of the first basic skill above just, you know, normal street navigation that you need, and that is to rotate yourself with the map so that the map is actually oriented. Like if you were a bird and looked down on the ground, you would be oriented the same way.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So then you have the controls are going to be like these kind of like flag. They're like little...
Yeah, they're like orange and white flags. We call them control bags, but they're about, I would say, a foot high and a foot wide. So they're not that big. You know, you have to be pretty close before you see them, and that's also part of the point. It shouldn't be, you know, too easy, because then once you've done it 2 or 3 times, it'd get kind of boring. So,
well, I've done some of the advanced ones with, you know, tagged along behind Mike, some of these advanced ones, and I know they can be really, at that level, they can be really challenging, and I suppose that's why it's kind of intimidated me, because they can be, you know, up in a
down
tree,
in a pit.
They can be down in a pit, where some of the topography around here can be, I don't know if it's like the old mining piles, where there's all these, like, pits, and it's like, okay, well, I know it's in a pit somewhere, which one is it? And you know, you have to be a little more spot on with your navigating. But what you're telling me then is if I decide to do like a white one, they're an easier to find places as you know, and then you progress up, they can be a lot trickier and probably farther out,
right?
Spread out.
Yeah. So the whole point of the having these different courses is it's done so that you don't need any prior training to come out. You don't need to take a course. You don't need to go to a clinic. We have beginner clinics at every one of our meets. It takes 10 minutes, just an introduction, here's what the map looks like, here's the clues. The clues is a big thing. Those are pretty interesting, right?
Yeah, they are. They're really interesting. That's we talk about something that's on the map. I know this much. It's the clue on the map.
It's on the map, and then now on the white and yellow courses, we actually write out the clues in English. But as you get into the more advanced courses, there's no English on that clue sheet. There's only symbols. And the reason is this is an international sport. So we're using an international system for the clues. So it's symbols. Just like, you know, you go to the bathroom and there's, you know,
the male, female, universal signs.
Universal sign. It's the same thing. It's just that, you know, there's 150 different symbols.
And yeah, because I know there's like the little round going up that means it's like on top of a hill, right? Or it's going the reverse way means it's down in a little.
Yeah, and I mean they're pretty intuitive, but some of them are not intuitive at all. It's like, really, you guys can come
seriously?
Up with it better.
That's so funny. So then, is it? So you have your map, and do you have to get the control points in consecutive order?
You do.
You do. Okay.
Yeah. So. Traditional orientation, there's all kinds of different kind of nuances or sub sports of orienteering that do it differently. But the main one that when people think of orienteering, it's a point-to-point course. You got to go in the order. And part of the reason for that is it allows the course designer, which by the way is sort of this magic role. You know, people, the best ones in the world are like, you know, gods in the eyes of these.
Well, I hear you're pretty good at design because you design the courses for these organizations, don't you? And put out the control points.
Occasionally, but yeah, there's definitely many, many more talented people out there doing that, which leaves me to organize events.
That's
which
nice.
I like to do better, I think. But yeah, it allows the designer to really kind of say, all right, I'm going to take them from this point to this point, and that'll be difficult and interesting because I can kind of control
the flow of the course.
Yeah. Yeah, and in some cases, you want to take them to a beautiful spot, too. You know, there's a nice view here. Yeah, okay, we're going to, you know, make that happen.
Even the white courses, I'll get to have some nice view.
Yeah. Around here in Sacramento, I mean, we have actually tons of wildlife. And so you wouldn't think it. I mean, it's right in the urban area, but all along the American River, in those parks that we have three or four maps all in that area, very centrally located. There is so much wildlife. Whenever I set courses out there, I see bobcat, I see coyotes, there's, deer to no end. Yeah, it's like really, really nice.
Oh, that's so cool. So do some of these overlap then a little bit, the courses, or is it pretty, you know, I imagine the white ones probably are only like a few miles long or something, and
yeah,
then the advanced are many more miles. And
right. So there's a tiny little bit of overlap, but typically in an event we end up with 45 checkpoints spread across these five courses, and most of the checkpoints are unique to each course. So I don't know if that really answered your question.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of like, you know, I just like getting all the details here. But we're going to be breaking here, Matt, for taking a little commercial break. But when we get back, let's kind of go into, if you could maybe sort of paint us a picture with a map and how that looks.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind of walk through and how we actually do this. So come back and join us on Money 105, The Legal Hour with Mike Chastain.
Neighbors more comfortable at home than you? Maybe it's your home's comfort system, insulation, AC, ducting. You want to know if everything is working properly. Maybe you're looking to save expense and considering solar. What next? Listen every Friday at 8 a.m. to the Brower Home Power Hour right here on Money 105.5. Get answers to all of your home energy questions, including your options before installing solar. The Brower Home Power Hour every Friday at 8 a.m. For more information, visit GoSmallSolar.com.
Attention. If you or a loved one has been surgically implanted with a hernia mesh implant, you may be at risk. Many mesh products used in hernia surgeries are defective and have been linked to severe complications, including chronic pain, infections, bowel obstruction, internal injury, or the need for corrective surgery. Even the FDA has issued warnings on mesh products. If you or a loved one has a hernia mesh implant and have experienced any of these symptoms, you may be entitled to significant compensation. The team at United Law will provide a free, no-obligation evaluation. With over $1 billion recovered for victims of defective drugs and devices, United Law can help. The deadline to file your claim is approaching fast, and you need to act. So if you or a loved one has a hernia mesh implant that has caused chronic pain, infection, bowel obstruction, internal injury, or the need for corrective surgery, call United Law today and get the compensation you deserve. Call 800-755-5002. 800-755-5002. That's 800-755-5002.
This is Greg Thornberry of the King's College in New York City for townhall.com. By now, news has spread to both citizens and enemies of the United States from the WikiLeaks recent data dump on the covert monitoring practices of the CIA. Nearly 9,000 pages of documents reveal how the agency can use smartphones, truck consoles, dashboards, and even Samsung TVs to listen in on conversations that might lead to the arrest or capture of terrorists or other criminals seeking to do harm in America. When asked about the breach, political analyst Charles Krauthammer said something characteristically astute. If we're spending so much time doing extreme vetting of visitors from, say, Yemen, why aren't we doing extreme vetting of contractors who work for the NSA? These contractors then, like Edward Snowden, turn around and provide access to Julian Assange to expose state secrets to everyone, which include barbaric terrorists. Maybe it's time for America to start paying more attention to the threats from within. I'm Greg Thornberry.
It's no wonder LiftMaster's the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Only LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, which alerts you if you forget to close the garage door, and it lets you close it from anywhere, anytime with built-in Wi-Fi technology. It also has battery backup, so you can get in even if the power's out. For installs, repairs, and door openers, call Sachs Garage Door Repair at 916-4-GARAGE. That's 916-4-GARAGE.
A couple of drinks after work. Think you're doing okay. Get in the car and boom, you see the flashing lights and your heart stops. Hi, I'm Mike Chastain of the Chastain Law Office, and I literally wrote the book, How to Survive a DUI Arrest, What You Need to Know. When you're pulled over for a DUI, how you act matters. Be polite, stay calm, and follow directions. It may mean the difference between going home or going to jail. My book provides critical information you need to protect your livelihood, your driving privileges, and your reputation. To get a free copy, go to www.yoursacduiattorney.com. If you've been arrested, call me for a free consultation right now. That's www.yoursacduiattorney.com. Bottom line, if you've been drinking, call for a ride. If you didn't and got caught, call me. I'm Mike Chastain, and my team fights for good people.
Hey, Siri, I'm being accused of a crime. Just a minor one, so no big deal, right? I can handle it myself. I'm not guilty, so what can go wrong? Attorneys only help once I get to court. Plus, the judge is going to think I did it because I have an attorney. Thank goodness for the Internet. I'm sure to find all my answers.
Hold on a minute. While your Siri app might be helpful with a lot of things, I don't recommend it for legal advice. You might find an answer, but it might not be the right one. With any criminal case, having the right answers can keep you out of jail. Hi, I'm Mike Chastain, and I have been practicing criminal defense for over 30 years. I wrote a special report called The 10 Myths About Criminal Cases, designed to help people like you find the right answers. To start with, no case is minor. And no, you should not handle it on your own. And trust me, the judge will appreciate you having a lawyer. Visit us today at radio.chastainlaw.net for your free copy of the special report. I'm Mike Chastain, and I'm here to help you get the right answers.
Now, back to the Legal Hour on Money 105.5 with your host, Mike Chastain.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is E, and I'm sitting in for Mike today. And because I'm sitting in for him, I got to choose the topic. And I chose to talk about orienteering, which is an international sport. For those of you that may not be familiar with it or just tuning in, our guest today is Matt Jansen, and he is the president of the Gold Country Orienteers and NAVX, which are really great organizations we're going to talk about a little bit more in this section. I mean, just to kind of review a little bit about what orienteering is, it's a sport where, Matt, I'm going to let you do the quick overview.
Sure. I'll give it a quick overview here. So it's a sport, usually hiking or running, and you use a map, and you have a course that's marked up on the map, and you do it for time. So you start, and you have to visit checkpoints along the way, and they're marked on the map, and they're also marked in the terrain, so you can see them when you get there. And then you try to go as fast as you can and get to the finish before the other guy.
Yeah, I like that. It's a little competition with
too.
And we were also talking about, because I was sharing with Matt, that this year I'm committed to do them on my own, which before I had done them with Mike, who's very advanced with this and always did the more advanced courses, and I would end up just trying to keep up with him. And he'd be like, over here, over there. And once in a while, he'd say, well, maybe you can find this one, E, and it'd be like an easy one. And I had some success with it, but he just would go too fast with me. So this year, I am going to try them on my own. And Matt was saying how there's all different, in one meet, in one event, there's all different kinds of courses so that a beginner can come and do the white course, which is it's much easier. And then the more advanced people, all the different levels, can have ones where the control points are much harder to find and there's more miles covered and all of that. But the main thing is it is a competition. And so it's done in time, right? Time, and then how many of the control points you get?
Well, you have to get them all. Okay. So it's really about the time it took you to do it. But you know, look, we have people that come out, and all they want to do is you know, entertain themselves while they're, you know, enjoying a beautiful area or getting a hike, getting some fresh air. That's a totally fine way to do it, too.
Yeah, it's just the people a little more serious that would be like you and Mike out there that are kind of going for it.
Right.
For me, I have to take the pressure off completely and just say, well, as long as I can make it back to the finish line, and my goal will be eventually that I can get all of them. You know, we'll see what happens at the start. Maybe I'll get
totally
lucky.
You can totally do it, E.
Yeah, we'll see. So let's talk a little bit, Matt, if you can just kind of explain to us, like, what does an orienteering map look like? You know, because a lot of people, I mean, I don't know when the last time any of you have actually looked at a map, and these are kind of special kind of maps, aren't they?
Right. Yes, they are. It's there's a whole industry, actually, of map making for orienteering worldwide, and they're works of art. I mean, they're just beautiful to look at. They're colorful. They have an amazing amount of detail, you know, just like a water fountain in a park, you know, yep, that's on there. You know, a tree, a significant tree, yeah, it's going to be on there, you know. So it has everything that you need without it becoming too cluttered, because, you know, clutter doesn't help either. So it's just, so there's an art form to it, to make a good orienteering map. But yeah, it's got different colors for different, shall we say, vegetation. So, for example, yellow is going to be an open field. That is, you know, very, very runnable, you know, fast running field. That would be yellow. Then you might have something that's kind of crossed yellow. That might have a little taller grass. White is typically forest. And then in the forest, you might have rocks and different things that sort of, it's not just white, you know, there's going to be other stuff in there. Probably the biggest thing that might be different from a city map or maps that people are generally familiar with are going to be the topo lines.
Topographic lines.
Topographic lines, yes.
Can you explain those to people?
Sure, yeah. So imagine that you were standing in front of a hill, and you wanted to slice that up in horizontal layers, let's say every 2 feet or every 10 feet. You wanted to, you know, basically slice it up, slice that mountain up. Those lines where you would be cutting, if you were to fly over that hill and looking down on it, there would be those lines, basically rings that lead up you towards the top of the mountain. That's what those lines look like, and that's basically what they are. They mean you're at a same height over sea level as you travel along that line.
So with these slices, then it really is looking at the map, because you're trying to make a two-dimensional map three-dimensional.
Exactly.
That's the point of it, right?
That's the point of
so
it.
So then with the elevation and the slices, so I assume that if something is steeper and taller, that these slices are going to be closer together, because every time you go up, you're going up that much
exactly,
farther
yeah.
elevation.
So the closer those lines are together, the steeper the terrain is. And that becomes second nature after a while. But in the beginning, you have to kind of think about that, because what might look like the best way to get from A to B might actually end up being difficult and really hard work, when maybe you could run around that mountain instead.
Yeah, I've learned that a little bit from watching Mike kind of interpreting maps, is trying to find the shortcuts. And it's like, well, you just go from A to B, like straight there. He's like, no, if you look at the lines and you look over there, that would be that hill. Maybe there's like cliffs or big rocks or something. It's going to take a lot of energy to get up that, mm-hmm. get down the other side. Well, maybe there's like a trail that looks like you're going the long way, but you pick that trail off to the side, it'll loop you around, but you'll be much faster because you're not bushwhacking through all the scrub and up the hill and back down. So
right, exactly. And that's really where the whole strategy comes into play, which is why it's so fun. I mean, you have to really think. I mean, they call it the thinking sport. And so, you know, it's not just like running. A lot of people say running is meditative. And I mean, really? It's just code for boring, right? Am I right? So you put a map in your hand, and now you got to go find a checkpoint. I mean, the boring is gone.
It's the mind and body. It's
yeah.
the integration of the two.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So, but like, so answer this one, Matt. If I'm looking at the map and I'm seeing these topo lines, and they're, you know, there's something happening because they're getting closer and closer together, how do I know that's going up or not? Because this is going down too.
Right.
So from just looking at the map without orienting it to the what's around you, you really necessarily wouldn't know if that was a divot or a hole or a
yeah.
indent as opposed to a hill.
Yeah, the map makers, they're really good at spotting, you know, which places that confusion could occur, because what they do is they put in little tick marks on those topo lines, and the tick marks will tell you if it's sloping down or up. But they don't put it everywhere, because it would make the map very, very busy. But in places where it's easy to get confused, they'll put those little tick marks in there, and so that's helpful. Yeah.
Well, my instructor, Mr. Mike, never explained the little tick marks to me. I didn't know the whole time. I'm like, he's like, well, just look out there. Now, what do you think? So, all right. So we have this map, this beautiful map here, and then we've got a compass. Now, how do we work the two together?
All right. So the compass comes into play in really, there's probably more, but two main reasons for the compass. The first one is pretty simple to use and grasp, and is all you really need for the lower difficulty courses. The second one takes some practice and takes a little bit of skill and understanding. But the first one is really, you only use it to orient the map. If you're standing at a junction and wondering, should I go left or right, you really need to have the map oriented the right way, because if it's backwards, then you might take the wrong
yeah.
turn. So in order to do that, you use the compass, and you really just use the little piece that's in the middle called the needle. The needle is a magnetic pointer, and it points to magnetic north.
And the map will have north, south, east,
exactly.
west on it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it'll have what's called meridians, lines that are marked on the map that go from south to north. And it's got a little arrow pointing north. So really all you have to do is align those lines with that needle. And so you kind of hold the map in the direction of travel, and then you just rotate yourself until that needle is parallel with those lines. That's that's probably a lot to take in, but
yeah, it's
hard, not
a little
that
hard to visualize, but just kind of give people a little bit of an idea about it. And then you kind of look at what the topographic lines, you can match those up with what you visually see around you.
Exactly.
As well.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other way to use a compass is when you shoot a bearing. And it's kind of a three-step process. There are great videos on YouTube. If anyone wants to come out, that could be a good thing to kind of go out and check out. But it's essentially a three-step process. You align the compass, the edge of the compass, from where you are to where you want to go. Then you rotate you rotate the circular piece in the compass so that the lines in it align with the meridian. And then you put the compass in your hand and you kind of turn yourself until the red's in the shed. It's kind of a rule of thumb. Red's in the shed.
Red's in the shed. Okay, well, this we're going to have to take a break. And maybe it's a good time to take a break because this might be better off learning when you show up to the meet and Matt will show you in person. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
A couple of drinks after work, think you're doing okay, get in the car and boom, you see the flashing lights and your heart stops. Hi, I'm Mike Chastain of the Chastain Law Office, and I literally wrote the book, How to Survive a DUI Arrest, What You Need to Know. When you're pulled over for a DUI, how you act matters. Be polite, stay calm, and follow directions. It may mean the difference between going home or going to jail. My book provides critical information you need to protect your livelihood, your driving privileges, and your reputation. To get a free copy, go to www.yoursacduiattorney.com. If you've been arrested, call me for a free consultation right now. That's www.yoursacduiattorney.com. Bottom line, if you've been drinking, call for a ride. If you didn't and got caught, call me. I'm Mike Chastain, and my team fights for good people.
Hey Siri, I'm being accused of a crime. Just a minor one, so no big deal, right? I can handle it myself. I'm not guilty, so what can go wrong? Attorneys only help once I get to court. Plus, the judge is going to think I did it because I have an attorney. Thank goodness for the internet. I'm sure to find all my answers.
Hold on a minute. While your Siri app might be helpful with a lot of things, I don't recommend it for legal advice. You might find an answer, but it might not be the right one. With any criminal case, having the right answers can keep you out of jail. Hi, I'm Mike Chastain, and I have been practicing criminal defense for over 30 years. I wrote a special report called The 10 Myths About Criminal Cases, designed to help people like you find the right answers. To start with, no case is minor. And no, you should not handle it on your own. And trust me, the judge will appreciate you having a lawyer. Visit us today at radio.chastainlaw.net for your free copy of the special report. I'm Mike Chastain, and I'm here to help you get the right answers.
Now, back to the Legal Hour on Money 105.5 with your host, Mike Chastain.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to this beautiful Friday afternoon, and thank you for joining us. This is E, and I'm here with Mats Jansen, and we're talking about the sport of orienteering. And, Matt, we've kind of gone through the basics of how these meets look, and I'd like to, in this section, have you talk a little bit specifically. How do people find out about what's going on with your Gold Country Orienteers and the NAVX group, and can you share a little bit about that with us?
Sure, absolutely. Here in the Sacramento area, the group that puts on the orienteering meets is called Gold Country Orienteers, and it's a nonprofit. And the web address is goldcountryorienteers.org. That's a mouthful, but goldcountryorienteers.org. Our whole schedule for 2017 is on there. And, in fact, our next event is March 19th, next Sunday. Not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday. And it's going to be in a place called Sacramento Bar. And it's very centrally located, right off Sunrise and Highway 50.
And don't get any ideas with happy hour. This is not a bar like you think's the bar.
It can be if you want to. Gold Country Orienteers has been around for about 22 years now. It was started by a group of enthusiasts that are still around, actually, and really giving a club, everything they got. And we have a kind of a core group that organize these. But we also depend on volunteers. So we always reach out for volunteers. It's very easy to volunteer at the events, too, and it's fun. You know, you get to know people kind of into the outdoors and stuff like that.
Well, I'm going to throw a challenge here because I've been, if you've just joined us, I've been talking this whole time about how this year I'm breaking out on my own and I'm doing it by myself. So in not this Sunday, but next Sunday, Mike and I will both be there, and I'm doing it on my own. So
I will be there to check.
You are going to be there to check and make sure. Check my checks. So if any of you are really interested, I strongly encourage you to come out. It's great for kids. You have
Absolutely.
Your kids out doing this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's for the whole family, like I said, from young to old. There's always a course that's appropriate for whomever. You can go out on your own, or you can go as a group, as a family. We have a lot of families that come out every time, and the kids love it. The kids get it instantly. It's a treasure hunt.
Yeah. It's a really exciting. And once again, you just do an easier course. You can just walk, hike, take your time, enjoy the wildlife and the scenery. If you're more intense, you want to have this be part of your weekend exercise, and you go a little more difficult course or even the easy ones and run it. You know, go. It's a competition, too, if you want it to be. You know, and it's a timed event, so, you know, you might.
And it's amazingly affordable, too. I mean, we...
How much does it cost to do this?
I mean, it's ridiculously. It's $5 for kids, $10 for adults.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't know why we, you know,
yeah.
do that,
why
but
even,
we do.
Yeah.
We're nonprofit. What can I say?
We should say, tell people it's a minimum of that, so then hopefully maybe people will pitch in a little bit more.
No, but we want people to.
Yeah.
We don't want the cost to be a barrier, right? So, it's really a wonderful... way to get out there.
And what the NAVX organization, what's the, would you do something a little different in that group?
Yeah, so, Mike and I met adventure racing, which is also a navigation sport, but it's kind of on the extreme end in terms of both endurance and you know, wildness of it. And so you have orienteering, you got adventure racing, and we found that there was kind of a void in the middle, and people really wanted to get out and get a little bit more wild and crazy and little longer events, but they weren't ready to kind of spend, you know, 2 days or 10 days doing it, right? So NAVX is really about navigation sports. We call it map trekking, and it's map adventures, map trekking, and it's really organized a little bit differently. It's not a point-to-point course. It's really a design your own adventure. So we put 30 or 40 checkpoints out in a vast wild area, and then you have 2, 4, 6, or 8 hours to get as many as you can. But you got to get back on time because there's point penalties if you're late.
Yeah, like
right?
in adventure racing, that's similar. So.
So it takes a lot of strategy. You get to design your own course, try to figure out, okay, I want to make sure I'm not too far away from the finish. Mm-hmm. When the time comes, and so we had our first season last year in 2016, 6 events, and we're having 6 events more. We had over 100 people last weekend in Morgan Hill.
Oh, that's fabulous!
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so excited to hear that. So that's you're a little more advanced. So any of you out there that are just kind of curious, want to get started, it would be more the GoldCountryOrienteers.org. Go to that website, and you'll find out, you know, information on when all the meets are with that. And is it meets? Can I call it meets or races?
Meets
we call
is fine.
It? Meets is fine. And we're going to have these links on you on our website. We always have the podcast from each one of our radio shows. And on this one this week, I will have all the links to the website so you can easily get on those.
And I just want to – so for NAVX, if anyone's interested, it's NAVXChallenge.org, NAVXChallenge.org. And I also want to – mention we get a lot of help from Bay Area Orienteering Club, and that's bayoc.org, BAOC.org. Wonderful organization that helps orienteering sport, navigation sports all over the state here.
That is so cool. And, God, there's so many more things I want to talk about with that we haven't gotten into, like geocaching and all those fun things. But we will save those for another time, and maybe I'll get you back here when Mike's here, and I will interview both of you about adventure racing. We did one a few months back about that, but there's always so much more to talk about, and I'm sure you guys can share a lot of crazy stories with that. Anyway, so just want to let you guys know what's happening at Chastain Law this week. Mike's away, as I said. He'll be back on Sunday, and then he's got kind of a big trial schedule coming up here. But we also have time for you. If you call, you want to have any questions, we are running a special right now where we have the 10 myths about criminal cases, and this is a special report that Mike wrote, and it's really interesting, and it's not just for somebody that's been, you know, that has a pending or has a criminal case. It's just really interesting information, you know, about this potentiality. So if you're interested with it, to get your free copy, you can go to radio.chastainlaw.net, and you can sign up, and we'll be happy to send you one there as well. We also have Mike's new book is The 10 Myths About Criminal Cases, coming out in probably less than a month. We'll have the copies. And if you would like to pre-order one of those, no charge, just let us know. You can get on the website at chastainlaw.net. And now we do have chastainlaw.com, so either one will take you to the same place. And just let us know, and we'll put you on the list, and we'll get you out a book as soon as they come in. It's going to be really exciting. It's like the companion piece or the other book with How to Survive a DUI Arrest, What You Need to Know. And these are all really meant to help somebody in this situation, but also prevent these kind of situations, because we feel like if you really understand what's at stake, then it's good preventative medicine. So that's about it, you guys. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And for Matt, thank you for taking time out of your schedule.
Oh, anytime. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just really want to encourage people to check out goldcountryorienteers.org and NavXChallenge. What was it?
Challenge.org. Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see you there. It's going to be in not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
March 19th.
March 19th is going to be the next Gold Country Orienteers meet. And Mike and I will be there. I don't know what time we'll be there, but we will be there. And please, you know, if you see us.
In a suit and tie.
And a suit and tie. That's right. You'll know us, but we'll be in the business we'll be business casual, though, I think,
okay,
for this. How about way business casual? But anyways, thank you so much. You guys have a fabulous weekend, and we look forward to being with you next week.